Purim is a very deep festival, a very joyous festival, and it's this Sunday, this Saturday night, 23rd of March, and Sunday, 24th of March. You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another JP episode. We are in a very special week, coming up very soon to the amazing Chag, the amazing festival of Purim. Rabbi Levy, you're excited for Purim?
Very excited. And this year it's on a Sunday, which means that work doesn't get in the way for anyone, which
exactly.
Is at least for most people.
Work doesn't get in the way, we
which
hope.
Which is great.
It's really, Purim is a very deep festival, a very joyous festival, and it's this Sunday, this Saturday night, 23rd of March, and Sunday, 24th of March. And you know, there's a few very easy mitzvot. You know, this is one of the things about Purim. Well, we're supposed to hear the Megillah, that's a bit more difficult, but we're supposed to send food packages, two foods to a friend, give a little bit of money to two needy people, and have a meal. I mean, what can be better than that?
Right? Yeah, it's pretty easy yom tov, actually.
So anyone who's not sure exactly what to do or would like to attend a Purim activity,
contact us.
Yeah, the email's in the notes, so please contact us. We know one of the things about Purim, so me and Rabbi Levy went the other day.
You may have seen this.
Some of you saw it. I've got a lot of feedback. Did you get a lot of feedback?
Yes, but you know, we actually had a lot of fun.
We were just having a lot of fun. We went to the junction, got lost in the junction, which not many people can do. It's a special talent.
That's right.
That only me and Rabbi Levy have. We actually got lost there until we found the store we were looking for. That was with Google Maps, by the way.
That's right.
We found something new because we got told the last few years
that our clown ties
were out of date, right?
Yeah.
So we
decided
to
be retired, and we're going to dress up as something else this year.
Exactly. So we're not going to tell you exactly what, but just something.
You'll probably see us on Purim, hopefully.
Hopefully we'll see you around. So the main thing is connect to the holiday in some way. It's a really very, very powerful time.
For sure. So talking about costumes and dressing up, I want to talk a little bit about being open and the advantages of sometimes dressing up and not being open, and the disadvantages, and when it is good and when it isn't good.
Wow.
We all dress up to some degree. You know, not every time we're in a bad mood do we express that to every single person we meet in the street. And the question is that, let's talk about the idea generally. Is it good to be open?
With others.
Being an open book, should people know what I'm feeling? Should people know what's going on in my life? Is that a good thing?
So, can I use
more? Because you have people. Some people are naturally more open. Some are naturally more closed.
So, we use some modern language.
Yeah.
You're talking about being vulnerable, right?
That's right.
Vulnerability.
Yeah.
So, before we get into this discussion, can I just mention something about dressing up on Purim?
Sure.
Because I just want to make this clear that the question you're asking is using dressing up in a metaphoric sense. And sort of using that as a formula and a symbol to have this discussion. But let's just understand that we all do dress up, and the dressing up on Purim is a very deep idea, actually, because very often we are dressing up in many ways. So we put up a front, but sometimes not just a front. Sometimes we actually talk ourselves into it, that our mask is who we really are. So like, which is not, it's not the discussion of vulnerability, it's a different discussion. So for example, I might have failed, or I might be very successful. And then I walk around and I define myself by my failure. So I'm despair, I am unhappy, I'm down. Or I can be very successful and I think I'm such an unbelievable person. Why? Because I succeeded. So I define myself by my success, right? The Jews in the time of Purim also dressed up. They dressed up in a way that they defined themselves by their successful diplomacy with Ahasuerus, and that led to deep assimilation. They forgot who they really are and what their real connection is, right? So that's one of the reasons we dress up on Purim, that to remind ourselves that not to dress up, meaning to take off the mask. We have to realize that the true essence of everyone is our godly connection, our godly spark, our soul, and all the other stuff, all the things that we define ourselves by are just superficial. And we have to sometimes return to who we really are, which is one of the things we try to do on Purim. So I just wanted to mention that because I think that's the real essence of dressing up on Purim. But you raise an interesting point generally about dressing up. In other words, even the superficial stuff, do we have to show it always? Do we have to always bare our soul? Do we have to always tell people what we're feeling, what we, you know, what we're going through, what we're feeling, our weaknesses, whatever? Do we have to be vulnerable, in other words? Is that what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Or can we dress up? Or can we walk around and make as if everything is fine?
Mm.
It's a great question.
You know, like, you know, when you ask someone how they are, most people are not going to answer you, you know, I'm having a terrible day today. It's like, you know, I'm great, good, thank God, everything's wonderful.
Well, like I once
said, most people are probably lying. You know, not everyone you meet is having a wonderful day. You know.
Or like I once heard someone say, someone said to someone, how are you doing? So the guy said, do you have half an hour?
That's right.
No. Actually, I just wanted a quick answer. Like, you know, I just wanted to know how you're feeling.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, part of saying hello.
Right. It's part of saying hello. It's a nicety. So I think it depends when and depends what and depends what your intention is, right? There is value in being open. Meaning, we know that, I think we might have mentioned this before, King Solomon in his great wisdom said, Dagab belev ish yashchena, which means if you have worry, if you have anxiety, it's good to remove it, it's good to overcome it. But one of the ways you overcome it is by actually communicating it to others.
Mm.
We should never be in pain alone. The power of community, the power of a group, the power of relationships, the power of being able to be honest and share with others without shame or without judgment, without being judged, what you're going through. Very often we don't do that in a bad way. We don't do that because we don't want to be judged. We want to keep up the appearances. We want to keep up, you know, you want to create the appearance that I'm fine, everything's amazing, and I'm successful, and my family's fantastic, and,
yeah,
you know, and the whole thing, right? So there is value in sharing. There is value in sharing, so you can lighten the loads, you can get comfort from other people, you get support from other people. And sometimes it's a really good way of deepening a relationship with someone you're close with, so that you're not superficially connected, but you're actually deeply connected, right? However, I think there's a big danger. I mean, nowadays, vulnerability is a very big thing. Vulnerability can never come from a neediness, from a self-absorption, from, right? Because, you know, you know what I'm thinking, right? I'm thinking when you find people bearing everything on social media.
Right.
Right? I mean, social media itself, by the way, is the biggest mask of all. But nevertheless.
Correct.
So what some people do is they're completely false on social media. Like, they'll make as if they have everything is fantastic when things aren't. And that's also stupid. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to create a false narrative. But I'm not sure you always have to say what you're going through. And, you know, because the person who you happen to add as a friend because they were friends with someone else that you know and you don't even know them and you hardly even seen them, doesn't need to know your whole family history. Similar, like, for example, I've had situations where, I'm sure you've had that as well, where, you know, I meet someone new and in within 10 minutes I know their whole life history, all their problems. Now, first of all, how do they know they can trust me? They don't even know me.
Right?
I mean, unless they've come to me for counseling, that's a different story because they've heard that they can do that. But I'm saying, just if it's an acquaintance, if I meet at a wedding and suddenly I know everything about them, that's unhealthy, I think. First of all, it's not good to be vulnerable to someone unless you can trust them properly. And second of all, sometimes just a neediness is like a victimhood almost. Like, I need everyone to know that I'm down in the dumps. I need everyone to know that I'm going through a difficult time, right? All that kind of stuff. So, for the most part, I think it's okay not to, you know, to be private and to be dignified. And to, if someone says, I don't think you have to say, like, I'm amazing today, because you're not amazing. But if it's just an acquaintance, you don't have to, you can wear a bit of a mask. It doesn't have to be fully, but you have to have the ability to, with people who you trust, with people who you are close, to open up. And it's sometimes difficult.
Can you explain more a little bit what the issue is with being... I mean, I understand... Okay, besides for the trust issue, I get that. Is it because it's also... Maybe perhaps it's also like... Why does the other person necessarily have to carry my load if they're not my close friend? Is that what it is? Like, it's almost like everyone needs to feel as I do. Everyone needs to be burdened by my burdens. Is that coming from an ego? Is that the main problem?
I think so. It's also neediness. What I mean to say, it comes from self-absorption. In other words, being vulnerable really should come from a strength, not from a weakness.
Mm.
When people are feeling so sort of thing, and they're just everyone, they want everyone to feel sorry for them, and therefore every person they meet has to know their whole life history, it's coming from a neediness, which is a bit of a self-absorption. It's not... I mean, if someone is in danger, they should reach out to anyone, obviously, right?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that, But you know, it's because you have to have some level of respect for other people also. Everyone has their life, everyone has their family, their needs, whatever. So but it's important, and it has to come from a strength. In fact, on the contrary, when a person doesn't want to share, and he does to people who are very close to him, or her, that comes from the strength, and that deepens the relationship, and it gets and it deepens the strength that can come from it.
And that's and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so it is. So that's it's good to take off the mask. But I was going to say before is like yeah, but you can be honest with people without over dramatizing it, without creating a whole falsehood. But it doesn't mean you have to bear your soul to everyone.
Right, right. How about, this is going a little deeper maybe, bearing your soul to yourself. What I mean to say is it always important to like be honest with yourself about what you're feeling and to be totally aware of it, or should you just get on with your day?
Oh.
Which is slightly a different subject, but I think it's a little bit connected.
You know, it is a little bit connected actually, because...
Should a person be constantly sharing with themselves how they're feeling? Like, should I be constantly checking in with myself?
So, I know what you mean. In other words, should you constantly be thinking about being in touch with your feelings, which is a very big topic today.
Mm.
So, emotional regulation is a good thing. Kind of working out what you're feeling is a good thing. But no, overly focused on it is not a good thing. It's like it says in Hasidic teaching with regard to divine service, right? You have this concept called cheshbon hanefesh, which is to reflect where you are. You reflect every once in a while. We have to take stock. But it's written clearly and it's explained clearly that there are certain times of the day or certain times of the month or year that we do that. People who self-reflect all day never get on with the job. They never actually do anything good because they're still busy analyzing themselves if they're good, if they're weak, if they're strong, if they right? So yes, it is a bit of checking in with yourself a good thing, of course. It's good to know yourself. It's good to know what you're feeling. It's good to know what's upsetting you, what's not upsetting you, and so on. But to constantly do it, which people do, unfortunately, it's these things are so nuanced. That's why they're so dangerous. They're good. And the fact that these things are sometimes more highlighted nowadays can be a good thing, but sometimes it just becomes a feeder for self-pity, self-absorption, self-focus, and so on.
Right. So this is one of my, I guess you can call it a pet peeve, although I don't know why it bothers me per se, like you know, everyone could do whatever they want, but is there any advantage of... wishing your husband or wife happy anniversary on Facebook or on Instagram? Is there any benefit to a person's marriage by doing that? Like, you know, this is not against anyone who has done that, but I just want to analyze this concept.
I'm hesitating because...
That's kind of something, you know, a little... push people
because
a little bit to think.
Because I talk to people, and sometimes I see people do that in very... romantic and flourishing ways when I know it's not quite the way things are.
Right. Let's say the person has a loving marriage, everything's wonderful. So they're not misrepresenting what's happening. It's just like, why can't you write a card to your spouse and share everything you want to share? What's the point of putting it publicly?
I am on Facebook and sometimes I might share something cute about one of my grandchildren, or you'll say something about your children.
Yeah.
It's just that's cute and it's inspiring sometimes. But a deep relationship is private.
Yeah.
I don't. Thank God, I have a good marriage, and people, lots of people do, and I don't think it's necessary to prove it to everyone else.
Do you think it sometimes comes from an insecurity?
I think so. Sometimes it might, and sometimes it comes from a confusion between what is public and what isn't.
Right.
By the way, not wishing your wife anniversary on Facebook, happy anniversary on Facebook or Instagram, is not a sign of a weak marriage. On the contrary,
right.
I mean, you didn't post, I got married 10 years ago on this day and I don't have a good marriage. You're not saying that, right?
Right.
You just not say anything because, on the contrary, I think more effort needs to be spent about spending the day with your wife or your husband or enriching it privately. Showing it, expressing it, yes. Expressions of love and intimacy is very, very important between the people, between yourself and the person you love.
Right.
It's just very different, right? It's a public thing. But I think that's a general problem in society today, that everything should become so open, right?
So I want to talk about that a little bit, actually, the concept of privacy. Because I think there's a big, and this is just to spark a thought process. I'm not actually saying an opinion here either way, but I think it's just an interesting thing to think about, that today we're very, very into breaking stigmas. And I think it's a very good thing, right? Stigmas with mental health, stigmas with everything. Every subject under the sun, which used to be stigmatized, is much less stigmatized today. We probably have a way to go in many things, but nevertheless. But I think we also have to think about what the price of that is, and is things being private, does that mean you're stigmatizing it? I think some of people conflate the two things. stigma and privacy. Can you maybe touch on what's the difference between the two things?
Okay, so you're actually asking two things, and I think one we should leave for a different podcast. The other one, the one of, like, you know, over destigmatization, is that damaging or not? That's right. That's actually an unbelievable discussion, maybe another time. But I think, is keeping things private creating a stigma? So I think it depends how, right? There's a bit of a balance. And I think it goes back to your vulnerability question. Because if someone has a problem and obsessively keeps it quiet, and is so private that no one's allowed to know about it, even their siblings or even their, I don't know what, right? Even their closest people, often that does create a stigma. It almost creates, let's say someone has a child with who's struggling with something, right? An illness, let's say, right? And whatever the illness is, and like refuses to for anyone to know.
Yeah.
It also sends a message to the person who's suffering an illness that, you know, you're kind of an outcast. It's like, you know, what's wrong with you, and so on and so forth. That does, it can create a stigma. And also it often is not healthy because it doesn't get the support that you need.
Mm.
Right? However, but if you okay to share it with those who need to know it, if you're okay to normalize it for those who need to know it, but you don't specifically go public about it, I don't think that's creating a stigma. I think that's just being private. Then it's okay to be private. Being private, you know, the rabbis tell us privacy is synonymous with the idea of tzniut.
Yeah.
To use an example, the Talmud says that the Torah, so to speak, was given to us twice, the first tablets and the second tablets. First tablets was given at Mount Sinai, which was with great fanfare and the sound effects, and it was an amazing public event, and it didn't last. It didn't last because something public is not always worthy of the permanent blessing. Okay, why God gave that public event is a separate discussion, but not for now. But the Midrash says that the Luchot Shniyot, the second tablets, were given very privately. Moses came down the mountain, no big ceremony, no flashiness.
Mm.
Just gave it to the Jewish people. This is yours. It's deep and it's still around and it's lasting. So there is a value in privacy. Everything in its extreme could have its shortfalls. So I think extreme privacy does create a problem sometimes, lack of support, stigmatization, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But privacy is a value. It's sure. Not modesty.
Yeah. This was quite a nuanced discussion. If anyone has any questions or comments or wants to argue with us, please do. I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. And wishing everyone a Purim Sameach.
Purim Sameach, everyone.